Welcome to the Save Your Marriage podcast, dedicated to all the men and women out there who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages. Here, we give you tools, perspectives, and insight into how to save your marriage and have a thriving marriage. This podcast is sponsored by The Fortified Spouse. And now, here's your host, Arturo Henriquez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to invite all the men and women out there to book a private complimentary call with me. We will talk about your particular situation in private and give you lots of guidance and put you on the path to restoring and saving your marriage. Just go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call. That's C-A-L-L.
So I recently had two questions come from two very different people that on the surface, these questions may seem not at all related, but I'm going to show you how they are related because they go to the core of what we're trying to do here. The first question is, and this came from an email, so I'm just going to read it. I've listened to your advice about what to do in a relationship when the other spouse is totally checked out and does not believe the marriage will work. I started to listen to you about a month after my marriage crumbled, and I already did all the things you say not to do, and here we are. And lately, I've been trying to stay calm and let a lot of those things go because I want my marriage to be saved. But since I already did all those wrong things in the beginning, do you think I ruined any chances to reconnect and fix this marriage? So let me break that down to a simple question that he's trying to portray here. I made lots of mistakes. Is it too late? That's what he's trying to relay. Okay, now the second question, right? The second question and the background information boils it down to this. Should I continue or others continue doing what we are doing? And that would be working on the reconnection. So what this person is really trying to do is reconnect in the relationship and bring back the relationship, bring back the marriage. So here's some things I want to tell each of these two individuals, and then I'm going to talk about why these two questions are in fact related. Now, the first one, so first of all, you made mistakes. Yep, that's what everybody does. Everybody that comes to the Fortified Spouse has made mistakes. In fact, that's why I've put the top 5 or 10 things not to do in my podcast, in social media, in emails. You know, these are things not to do when you're working on saving a marriage. So you're basically aren't digging the hole deeper, right? You're not making things worse because as you've already discovered, there's a crisis. And the last thing you want to do is make the crisis more complicated. And so part of what often happens is I'm naming these things as people are like, they found me, you know, a little too late to avoid that, or they get so emotional that they step right into that. So really, what happens then if they've already made all these mistakes? Well, you keep moving forward, right? And so is it too late? And the answer is no, it's not too late. I mean, it is possible that you cannot save your relationship because you cannot and can never control your spouse. But it's not because you've made mistakes. That does not make it too late, not at all. Now, the next question, do we keep doing the things we've been doing? Again, trying to reconnect. So I want to clarify that there are times when I hear people talk about what they're doing to save the relationship. And I'm like that, you know, I wouldn't suggest that. For instance, if you're using manipulation techniques or reverse psychology techniques or the no contact rule or things like that. However, if you're using my advice on working on yourself, becoming the best version of you, right? The husband, the wife that you should have always been, changing yourself to get to a better place. And if you're trying to create the place of being a we, becoming a team, we are in this relationship together. It's that entity of seeing a marriage as being a we rather than a you and me, or worse yet, a you versus me. So if you're doing that work and you're also trying to reconnect, remember, that's the big issue that ruins relationships is that you've not fostered that connection. Maybe it was because the anger built up, resentment built up, and you pulled back on your connection. Or maybe likely you just neglected it. It's neglect, not disconnect. And that leads to other problems. And so these are the reasons that these two are related, because it's basically, here I am, what do I do? So let me just kind of point out these things, right? These two people have made some changes. This is kind of the unifying thing between these two questions. They've both made changes, right? The first one is trying to stop doing those mistakes, trying to get to a better place. Don't make the same mistakes. The second person has made big steps in changing the relationship and really trying to get back to that connection point. So the changes have been made, and the question is, what now? Well, there's something lurking behind both of these, and that is the discussion. In fact, that is what the second person with the second question was thinking about. It's the hope that the connection will return with no real discussions about it. Now, if I go back to the first person and their first question, if you remember, one of the things I say not to do is exactly that. Have a discussion about your relationship, because that is something that I talk about a lot that you should not be doing, specifically at the beginning of a marriage crisis when you get the gut punch. And so I need to distinguish here when I'm saying that I'm not talking about, if your spouse says, hey, look, we need to talk, you say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's resistance. That's not going to help. It's when you have, you know, thought through what you're going to say and you have this script in your mind of how you're going to approach your spouse. See, we humans are great script writers, and it would be great if other people were listening to our same script. You can probably think about how many times that has been true. You know, maybe you've thought about a conversation you're going to have with a coworker, or a conversation you're going to have with a child, or even a parent, or a sibling, or a friend, or a spouse. And in your mind, you're thinking about how it's going to go. And then you step in and you say your first line, and maybe what they say stays in line with your script. But maybe it goes right off the rails as well. At least your rails. It's now on the rails because they probably have been thinking about that too. And suddenly they're having this conversation that is not on script in your mind. What's the problem with that? Well, now you're floundering. And the panic that sets in when the script is not happening means that we start getting into that fight-flight mode. And suddenly we start getting argumentative or dismissive or avoidant. And suddenly we have a stop point, because now we have two people who are having off-the-script conversations, don't know where it's going, and that usually gets us into trouble. That doesn't mean you can't talk about the relationship. If your spouse says, hey, we need to talk about things, but let me be clear, when I watch couples talking about the relationship, they're doing nothing to relate. They tend to be trying to prove the other person wrong, always talking about their perspective. They tend to be trying to get the other person to see the world their way. And to them, that's the right way. And I'll put that in air quotes, which is your way, because we have a way of understanding things. So what would I recommend in both these cases? The first thing is the C's of how you manage yourself in this process. The forces of being calm, constant, consistent, and courageous. The four C's: calm, constant, consistent, and courageous. So let's dissect that a little more. Now, the calm needs to be in your overall demeanor, not pressured, not pushing. I often hear of people who think that they are in a time crunch, and so they start getting some extra sassy with their spouse. And the problem with being extra pushy with a spouse is they feel like they're being crowded. And whenever we feel like we're being crowded, we try to create space. Most people aren't used to just managing feeling crowded at all. We try to push away because of our fear of intimacy. And unfortunately, what that creates is a play back and forth between the fear of intimacy on one person who's feeling crowded and the fear of abandonment on the other person who's crowding because they fear they're going to be abandoned And back and forth and back and forth that goes. So you have to find a place where you're internally can be calm and act calm. And if you can't actually be calm, at least to be acting that way. So that's calm, constant. That means that you are doing this work on a regular basis. Not like you did something this week and then you kind of set it off to the side and fall into the disconnection. And then in a couple of weeks, a couple of days, a couple of months, you know, whatever the time frame is, you know, you say, I need to work on this again. So you come back, but doing it in a constant, consistent basis. Now, let me say that constant does not mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're trying to connect with your spouse. That's overwhelming. But on a constant basis, meaning, you know, regular basis, I'm exercising that connection. Does that mean 24 hours a day I'm exercising or even 12 hours a day? No, but it is constant and consistent. Every morning I get up and do my walk. You know, I have some other exercise routines I put in there. It's constant that I'm thinking about that and processing that and having that as part of my life. And then there's a consistent piece. Consistent means that you're actually doing things that fit together. For instance, I talked about the manipulation piece, the reverse psychology, the no contact stuff, the things that are floating out on the internet about what to do to save a marriage. And they're all bull crap, to say it nicely. And those approaches aren't very consistent if what you're trying to do is reconnect. In fact, it goes against reconnection. So my belief, well-founded belief, founded in research and in practice, is that a marriage is nurtured by connection. A marriage is never helped by manipulation. It's never helped by no contact or anything else like that, because no contact is the opposite of connection. And so you want to make sure you're doing things that fit together. That's why I ask people to try to follow my steps and my tools of connection in the program in sequential order, because I know it's consistent, and it's a consistent approach that works. One thing builds on the other, and it's consistent. It's a roadmap. And a lot of people are all over the place, and that is inconsistency. And the fourth C is courage, being courageous, because it's very hard to do this work. That's what those two questions from these two people have in common. Is there a part of me that I just should just give up? Is what's in those questions. If this isn't going to work out, should I give up? That's a question that's in there. Is it too late? I've made these mistakes. That's in question number one. And hidden in question number two is, do I keep going along even if we don't make it? And both are saying, what do I do? So behind all of that is the fact that it means that you have to step up. So people often ask, should I work on saving my marriage? And I will say, honestly, that is up to you to choose that one way or the other. It's up to you to choose that. But know that the temptation is to take the easy way out. And so they'll have a second question. Do you think I can save my marriage? And that is embedded in both these questions we've been talking about. And my response is, I'm not sure if you can save your marriage. I do know the Fortified Spouse program works tremendously with the majority of marriages. In fact, we have a 83 to 85% success rate. But you have to do the work, and it's hard work, and that takes courage. You know, sometimes people buy products and services, and they don't use them. You can probably look around your house, I know I can, and look at the books I haven't read, and you know, the devices I don't use, and the spices I don't use in my food. And so just because you bought it, you know, doesn't mean anything. You have to apply it. There's a difference between consuming something and producing it. So a lot of people think because they've listened to a podcast and they have the knowledge, they feel good about it because it's knowledge, it's nuggets of information, of advice, but they don't apply it, but they think that they have actually moved the needle, that they've produced a result because they've obtained knowledge. And all they did was consume. They didn't produce. You have to apply it. And here's what I do know when people don't apply it. they end up on the same course they're currently on, which is usually the end of a relationship, the end of a marriage, the end of a family. So do I know whether you can save your marriage? I don't. I do know what happens if you don't work to save your marriage and take that courageous action. So remember the four C's: calm, constant, consistent, and courageous. Now, let me just note that both people writing in these two emails have made their changes. That's why you've got to do in order to move forward. You can't keep doing the same thing you were doing, hoping that somehow that translates into success. It didn't work before, right? And so you've got to decide you're going to make these changes when you make a change. I believe that includes being accountable. Accountability generally means that you make an apology and make amends. Accountable leads to apology and amends. Accountable means you're going to say, hey, I'm responsible for this part. I'm responsible for my role in this relationship. I'm never asking people to say it's all my fault, but this is my fault. This is my responsibility. And I am sorry for that. I apologize. I hope you can forgive me. That's the apology. And we work up to that apology in our program. We have a whole methodology because it's not just as simple as saying, I'm sorry. It's actually far from that. The last thing they want to hear, your spouse who wants out, is a sorry or an apology, and that's it. There's a whole process to this. There's a whole emotional process to this so that they can actually believe it. And it takes a lot of work on your end. And this is what we do in our program, so that when you do deliver an apology, it's heartfelt and it sticks. And it talks about real change that they have already observed. And that's what makes that apology so appealing, because your actions have already began to do the apologizing for you. And you have to make amends, and then you have to make those changes. Because if you decide to make changes, there's no going back. You can't, you know, decide that you're going to make some changes only to reverse course the next week. And you really didn't make any changes, which is probably what you've been doing this whole time. I mean, that nature of an apology is that you recognize you did something wrong and you're not going to repeat it. If you repeat it, you actually negate the apology. So you need to make the changes and make sure there's no going back. Which brings up kind of an interesting model I want you to think about in your head. And it's called first order change and second order change. It's systems theory. The difference between the two: first order change is when you do something really that I mean. The positive side is it stabilizes the system. You change some behavior. So your spouse says, hey, you know, I don't want to be around you because you would raise your voice. And so you stop raising your voice. You don't make any actual real changes in your life. So you're still angry. You're still upset. The same thing is going on, but you don't yell. You don't raise your voice. That could help stabilize the situation, but there's not been really a deep change to that. A second order change is when you actually change your interactive style and it changes the system. So the first one is you do something that'll just stabilize the system. It's like you're trying, you know, to treat a symptom. Let's draw the analogy kind of like if you got sick. So let's say you had a virus, some cold, you're feeling bad. And so the first order change would be to take some Tylenol to help with the headache. Second order change may be that you actually do something to fight off that infection that's causing the headache. You take an antibiotic, or, you know, you do something in particular that actually gets to the source. It gets down below that and fights the cause of the problem, the origin. So in marriage, maybe you break the habit of arguing, but you never change the conflict. You never resolve it. Resolving the conflict is actually going deep, and that's what we do in our program. We go extremely deep. We go address your emotional baggage, which are your insecurities and your limiting beliefs, because everything comes from your beliefs. Your beliefs make up your personality, and most of you have never challenged any of your beliefs. Most of you have never challenged your personality. And here's some quick neuroscience for you. Your beliefs give you the thoughts that you think. The thoughts that you think make you feel the emotions that you have. The emotions that you have make you do and behave the way you behave. And the way you behave gives you the outcomes that you've had. So if you have disempowering beliefs, limiting beliefs, insecurities, then they're going to give you disempowering or limiting thoughts that are going to make you feel negative. They're going to trigger you, causing you to act in a way that you don't want to act, that doesn't serve you, doesn't serve your relationship, doesn't serve your marriage, doesn't serve any of your relationships, right? And then you're going to get the outcome of a marriage crisis, of a broken relationship. So if we're able to address the cause, which is the belief, and change that belief, right, discard that insecurity, delete it, and actually rewrite it, or maybe, you know, refill it with an empowering belief, now you're able to change the thoughts to positive, powerful thoughts, which make you feel powerful emotions, which make you act in a powerful way, which give you powerful outcomes. It's not just about stopping to raise your voice. You can still be in different levels of conflict, and maybe you, it feels better because you're not yelling at each other anymore, but you're still unresolved. And whatever was behind that, right? Again, that's the trigger. And that would be a first order change and not a second order change. And to truly make lasting change, you need to make second order changes. And let me just throw this curveball in there. There's actually a third order change, right? That changes the actual paradigm. You change how you understand the marriage. For instance, many times it's a third order change when people go from thinking you versus me or you and me to we. So let's kind of put all this into context, right? Let's say you've been arguing a lot. And so the relationship has become you versus me. And you do something to stabilize it so you stop fighting, right? That would be a first order change. Second order change would be actually getting to the root cause of what got you so angry that caused you to fight and partake in the fighting. So what triggered you? What underlying belief, limiting belief or insecurity triggered you? Address that so that when that topic of conversation or that situation happens again, you're not as angry. That would be a change. You've actually dealt with something deeper, and now you are not easily triggered, and so you're not easily angry, and therefore that argument is not going to happen. Third order change would be saying, wait, we are in this together, and we're in this together for life. So it's not about what's best for me. It's not about what's best for you. It's what's best for us, the marriage. So if you're having problems with finances, you know, and you start arguing because you have different opinions, you stop and say, what's best for the relationship, the marriage, not me, not you, but the marriage, because now we together can come up with a solution as it relates to that problem. You're on the same team. You're on the same side of the table. It's no longer you versus me or you and me. It's you, me, and the relationship. And if both of you fight for the relationship and not fight for your individual needs, then you have truly found a we. You have truly become a we. You become a team, and that changes the paradigm altogether. And so it's not just about staying in the same level, but increasing the connection between the two of you. And in the end, trying to change the paradigm that you have had together into something deep and long-lasting. And then whether you've made mistakes or it's been hard to save the marriage, you will have saved the marriage. And not only that, it would be forever after. Thank you for listening. Now, I want to introduce you to the Fortified Spouse program that has helped thousands of women and men just like you save their marriages with an 85% success rate. It is based on four fundamental pillars. One, gain the tools to reconnect with your spouse. Two, understand the differences between men and women so we can appreciate and be more empathetic with our spouse. Three, learn how to gain inner confidence so we are no longer codependent on our spouse. and 4, deal with our insecurities and triggers so we are more emotionally in control and not as easily triggered. If you're interested in learning more about these tools to immediately stabilize the marriage and postpone and delay the divorce or separation or win your spouse back from an affair, then go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. It is going to change your life. It is going to make you the best version of you, and it has the highest probability of saving your marriage.
You have been listening to the Save Your Marriage podcast for men and women. For further information, visit The Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.